Hello, friends. Welcome to the Hillside Church podcast. My name is Brad, and I serve Hillside Church as the lead pastor. We're so glad to be able to share God's word with you in this way. God has so much in store for you and for your life, and one of the ways God works in our lives is through the study of his word, like the message you're about to hear. Our prayer for you is that as you share in this message, if it's me preaching or if it's someone else, is that God's word would minister to your heart and life in a most powerful way. Thanks again for being part of our church family. God bless you.
Well, I'm a very visual person, and God speaks to me with pictures and whatever. And so it is possible to teach an old dog new tricks. And so, I've been lots of Bible studies and whatever. And I really like interaction. Well, a couple of years ago, the Lord really laid on my heart about something. And he says, why don't you make a movie? So I would do this in my head. So I'm reading the scriptures, like, you know, what did they look like? What was going on? You know, if they were in the hills, what did that look like? And so I extended that to the two home groups that I do, and it's been awesome because what happens is instead of me droning on and on and on and on, that we would say, hey, we're going to make a movie, and so people can interact with that. And I've come to the conclusion most people have a very hard time with concepts. But why is it that we like movies is because a story stays with us. So I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to invite you to make a movie with me. And so I want you to engage your creative side of your mind and say, what did it feel like? And what did this person look like? And why did that happen? And I want us to be immersed in this story. So if you have your Bibles handy, and by the way, your Bible on your phone does count. And I remember when people first started having phones. Yes, I'm old enough to remember when there were no cell phones. And then they had these big bricks that we had. You remember those? They call it the brick. And now we have one that'll fit in your pocket. Well, so if you have your phone, turn with me to John 21. So this is the story, and I love this graphic. And so a pastor, he asked me, and he said, it says, what are you preaching on? And I said, well, I'm going to do John 21. And it's a backward glance. I don't know about you, but when things get tumultuous and when things get hard, sometimes it's really easy for us to just say, it was easier back there. It was easier looking back. And I think that's what we're going to see here with Peter. So it starts here. It says, afterward, Jesus, first one of 21, chapter 21, afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. So close your eyes. And this Tiberias is just another name for the Sea of Galilee. So close your eyes. And there's a beachhead there. And there's mountains surrounding that. And the Sea of Galilee is really large. And it was a fishing thing. So just kind of picture that. So anyways, it says that it happened in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, that means the twin, that's my name, and so I'm just Ditto for short. So Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, James and John, and two other disciples were together. So Peter says to them, I'm going fishing. Now, I think there's more to that, so I want you to kind of embrace this movie. So let's just say, can you imagine the turmoil and the upheaval that Peter had just been through? So he was called by Jesus early on, and Jesus says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And the Bible says that immediately they left their nets and they followed Jesus. They left it all. And so, again, one of the things, and I think we need to really give Peter a pass. I think Peter has been really misrepresented. And whenever I hear people talking about he's a goofball and he's got his sandals in his mouth all the time and, you know, he's just, you know, just doesn't quite get it. He's a little bit dull. I just think that that's so wrong. We spent a whole 9 months going through and looking at the life of Peter and why did he do what he does? I would say instead of being impetuous, I think he was bold. Instead of, you know, like sticking his sandals in his mouth, I think he just had the guts to say what other people were thinking, but just didn't have the guts to be able to say it. So, and you know, he said, oh, he was just a common fisherman, and you know, but the reality is if you really read, he was actually a businessman. That he was either the owner or the co-owner of a fleet of fishing vessels on the Sea of Galilee. So, and if you read through the New Testament, you'll see the two books of Peter, that they are very deep and very insightful. And yes, it was the Holy Spirit, but God, through inspiration, that he used the thought processes and the vocabulary of the people. And so we see a reflection of a very deep person, not a goofball, but somebody who's very deep. So as we look at all of this, Peter was not just some surface lightweight, but Jesus saw something in him and says, follow me, and Peter did that. Well, he walked with Jesus for 3 years. He saw miracles. He saw people raised from the dead. They were out in the middle of the sea, and the winds and the seas were coming, and Jesus was asleep in the boat, and when they woke him up, said, Jesus, don't you care that we're perishing? He saw Jesus stand up, and he rebuked the winds and the waves. So he saw a lot. He saw Jesus coming, riding in on the foal of a donkey, and people, Hosanna, 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 throwing their coats in front of him, throwing the palm fronds in front, welcoming as king. And then on Thursday, that same crowd that was saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, that same crowd are the same ones who are saying, crucify him. Well, he saw Jesus betrayed by one of the disciples, Judas, and he saw all these things. And of course, Peter was defensive of Jesus, and one of the places where he gets maligned, Jesus, he's talking about his being death, and so there's an unfortunate translation. Most of them say, and Jesus rebuked Jesus and says, may it never be. Well, I when we were doing this deep dive, it's actually a phrase, when we have these idiomatic expressions. Well, Peter, what he was really saying was he wasn't rebuking Jesus, but he stood up and he says, nobody's going to touch you. It's not on my watch. Not on my watch. And then Jesus said, look, Peter, you just got your mind into things of this world. You just don't understand. But he saw all of these things, and so he saw Jesus being betrayed, and he had a sword, and he cuts off that guy's ear, and Jesus says, look, put your sword away. And Jesus healed the man with the ear that got chopped off. Then Peter, he saw Jesus led away, and he was there in the courtyard, and can you imagine? He's watching Jesus, and that Jesus' eyes locked on him when he denied Jesus. And again, just kind of giving some more in this movie, it says that he was swearing. Now, it's unfortunate that we really don't understand swearing. What we call swearing, most of it's vulgarity or profanity. When we take the Lord's name in vain, or we make things that are sacred into something that's just common, that's profanity. And swearing isn't like using, the F-bomb or whatever. But swearing is where you swear an oath, and he's saying, by God, I don't know this man. Let me be cursed and the bird of paradise fly at my nose if I'm not telling the truth. Like, so that's swearing. So he's swearing. He said, no, I didn't know him. And then at that moment, the cock crows, and he said, I'll never betray you. And here he was. He was betraying Jesus. And it said that he went out and he wept bitterly. Very soft-hearted. A man who was strong, but a man who was really soft-hearted. Anyways, he sees Jesus whipped within an inch of his life. He sees Jesus stumbling on the Via della Rosa. He sees him stripped naked and nailed to a cross. I've tried to picture that, but can you imagine? And here's these, and they're just driving nails into his hands and into his feet. And you're seeing this person that you love hoisted up and fighting for breath. You see him die. And you say, what's going on? God, we thought he was the Messiah, and we thought he was going to lead the armies of Israel to throw the Romans out, and here he is. He's dead. I don't know if you've ever been with somebody who's dying. It's just not pleasant. And all this flood of emotions, and then they put him in Jesus' body in the tomb, and Jesus said he was going to rise from the dead, and they both have faith and doubt all at the same time, and his bed's spinning, and then the women come back on Easter Sunday and said, hey, we've seen Jesus, he's risen from the dead. And then Peter and John, Peter, not impetuous, but the bold one, older guy, he's running, and says that John got there ahead of him, and he goes in, and they see the grave is empty, and he see the the grave clothes there, and then Jesus appears, and then Jesus appears with Thomas being present, and this is the third time. So what happens is I'm going fishing, and they said, go ahead. So I think it was a backward glance. I said, I have to get my head sorted out. I don't understand what's going on. I thought, perhaps, what's going to happen now? I just don't understand. I don't know about you. Have you lived long enough as a Christian to just see what God's doing and just, I don't understand? I don't understand. All we know, we sang that song today about the fact that God has a plan for us. So anyways, so they go out at night, and they went out at night because that's when the fishing was the best. And again, and I'm not a fisherman. My dad was a stream fisherman, and when he didn't catch something, he'd come home and he says, I got skunked. Is that something that you're familiar with? When you just got skunked, you got nothing, right? Nada. And so basically it's night, and they've been up all night, and fishing wasn't like sitting with your rod and reel and having, so they say, hey, you know, this is really fun. They're working hard. These nets are heavy. They throw them out, and they're trolling around, and they're out, and they get nothing, and they're on their way back, and they're just like, I'm just so tired. I'm discouraged. You know, this didn't help. I thought if I went fishing, it'd get all sorted out, and I'm still not feeling good about things. And so they're on their way in. Well, what happens, it says, early in the morning, Jesus stood by the shore, but the disciples didn't realize it was Jesus. Okay, close your eyes. Let's look at the movie. They're still on the same Sea of Galilee, and they're on their way back to the place where they moor their boats, and they bring them in on the beach, and it's kind of like the sun's just coming up, and they see this figure on the beach, and, you know, they can't quite recognize him because, you know, they're still far away out. Maybe it's like it's just kind of in the break of dawn, and then they hear this voice, and it says, hey, friends, have you any fish? Hey, friends, have you any fish? Now, it's interesting, the word here, friends, it's unfortunate that in the Greek it actually says little children. Now, he's not belittling them, but he's talking in terms of family. He's talking in terms of little children. And so I'm learning Spanish, and I actually looked this up in Spanish. And so in Spanish, Jesus says, muchachos, muchachos, have you any fish? No, they answered. Now you say, well, how did they hear? Well, have you been on the ocean, or have you been on a lake or whatever? It's a natural amplifier. Like, you can be a long ways away, and you can hear what people are saying. So here's Jesus, and he says, do you have any fish? And then what happens is, then it says, then Jesus says, they still aren't quite sure who this guy is, and it says, throw out your nets on the right-hand side of the boat, and you'll find some. Now, I wonder if they're kind of thinking, those who were there in Luke chapter 5, where Jesus, you know, does the first miracle of the fish that got caught. And I wonder, and they said, this feels strangely similar. I've been here before, like deja vu. And so basically they do it. And it says that as that happened, then there was a large number of fish. In fact, 153 big fish. And yet the nets didn't break. And so the disciple whom Jesus loved, he says, it's the Lord. Now I want to just stop here. Does Jesus play favorites? I don't believe that for a moment. I think Jesus loves everybody equally. But John, somehow, because he's writing this, and he often refers to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. It's not that Jesus loved him more, but John somehow was able to make the connection that he was loved by Jesus, and he said the disciple whom Jesus loved, and he's saying, I'm loved, but he's also saying, I love. So that's kind of my first point. Do you really believe that Jesus really loves you? It's part of that identity. And Joe, you could say, well, how can Jesus possibly keep track of 7.5 billion people in the world? Can Jesus possibly know where I am? It says the very hairs of your head are numbered. So basically, Peter, he says, as soon as Simon Peter heard him say that, it's the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment and he jumps into the water, and then he's going to expedite getting to the shore. Because then he's, when they're dragging in the nets, he gets in the boats, and he's, because he can't wait to see Jesus. Now that tells me something. Come again, let's come back to the movie. Remember, he feels that he's betrayed his best friend Jesus, and he's seen all of this, and his head's spinning and whatever. But somehow he remembers that Jesus reached out to him at his lowest point. When he betrayed Jesus, said he went out and he wept bitterly. He just sobbed until he couldn't sob anymore, until his toenails hurt. He was crying that deeply. And yet, when the women came back and the angel says, "Go tell the disciples and Peter," he was saying, "I want you to make sure. If you have to drag him, you got to tie him up, you got to drag him in. I just want you to know, I need to see Peter. Peter needs to see me." So they were restored and whatever. And so here, Peter, he jumps in. He's on his way. He wants to see Jesus. And there's just no fear of judgment. Even one, he's not saying, "Oh, I wonder if Jesus is going to wonder why I'm taking a backward glance." So then Jesus is there, and he's got a fire going. These guys have been up all night, and, you know, they worked hard. They got skunked, and here's Jesus. He's got a fire going. He's got some fish on, and he's saying, "Let's have breakfast." Come back to the movie. Like, can you think about that? So here, these guys are coming, and they're probably a little bit on the cool side, and here's a fire, and there's a fish, and they're hungry, and Jesus is saying, "I've made breakfast for you." So when you're discouraged, when your head is spinning, can you just picture yourself that Jesus is inviting you for breakfast? Can you just imagine that? So when you feel that you've gotten skunked by life, when you feel that things just don't make sense, look for Jesus, and he's there saying, "Come and have breakfast. Come and have breakfast." So basically, they have breakfast, and none of them ask, "Who is this?" They knew it was Jesus. Now, this is the third time. Now, coming to verse 15, this is the next part of the movie. The first part was Jesus is on the beach. Now, commercial break, da-da-da-da-da. And now, this is the second section. So here we go. So after they're all done, Jesus says to Peter, "Let's go for a walk. Let's just go hang out." Now, again, I wonder if Peter's kind of in the back of his head. He's saying, "Okay, yeah, Jesus has reinstated me, and yeah, I think things are okay, but what if, like, he wants to talk with me? What if he's going to get me away from everybody, and he's going to actually say, you know, you just didn't handle this very well?" But he goes. Now, one of the challenges when we're reading the scripture, if we don't engage our minds and we don't make these little movies, it's kind of like one scripture runs in and goes, "You know, Peter, do you do this?" "Yeah, Peter, do you do this?" "Peter, do you..." But I think this is probably over half an hour. They're out walking, and I don't know about you, but there's just, I love to walk. It's my best way to pray. I love praying, and I love walking with people that I love. And you don't have to say anything. You're just with them. And so I just think, you know, sun's now coming up and it's glistening off the water, and, you know, and all's right with the world. And so Peter's just walking along, and just kind of small talk, or maybe they're not talking at all and they're just walking. And then Jesus looks at Peter and he says, "Simon..." Now, it's interesting, I want to put this into a book. I've got this whole series of these little movies, and the name of it is From Simon to Peter. Interestingly enough, often when Jesus is talking and it's like Peter's really on point, you know, this is Peter. But here it's Simon. He's going back. He says, we're kind of back to the beginning, backward glance, and says, "Okay, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" This is the NIV. "More than these." Now, you don't catch this. Now, I'm not a Greek scholar, but I had to do some remedial work, and I took New Testament Greek, and I know how to use the internet and all of the things. And so it's interesting, which says, truly, Do you truly love me? Jesus is using the very specific love. It's called agape love. It's unconditional, no holds barred love. And so Jesus says to him, Peter, do you agape me? Now, Peter starts to squirm a little bit. Jesus is asking him a pointed question. And isn't it wonderful that Jesus knows just how to ask the questions to get us to really think? And Peter, he says, Lord, you know that I love you. Now, in the Greek, Peter, he doesn't say, yes, I agape you. He says, Lord, I phileo you. Like, phileo is the Greek word for friend. So Jesus is saying, do you love me? Do you truly love me? And Peter, he's saying, Lord, you know I'm your friend. Now, here again, you can say, oh, here's a doofus and whatever. But isn't it wonderful that he had the guts to just really say what was really on his heart? He didn't just say, well, Jesus is expecting me to say agape, so I guess I better. But he had the guts to say, I'm not there yet, Jesus. Isn't it wonderful? Jesus didn't give up. And then he says, feed my lambs. And then second time, Jesus, I think there again, it's not like a boom, 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 boom. So maybe another 5 minutes goes by, maybe 7, 10 minutes goes by. And, you know, Peter's kind of, you know, what's going on? What am I going to do? And Jesus knows exactly what he's going to do. And then Jesus looks at him and they're walking. Maybe Jesus stopped. I don't know. It's your movie. Maybe they keep walking, but in my movie, I think Jesus stops and he says, Peter, look at me. Do you agape me? Peter says, Jesus, you know I'm your friend. And Jesus says, feed my lambs. But then the third time, verse 17, it's interesting that Jesus, again, I think they're walking a little bit more. And by this time, in my movie, Peter's really starting to sweat. Like, what am I going to do? Am I going to stay with the what I used to be? You know, it says, do you love me more than these? I don't think it was Jesus saying, do you love me more than John and James or whatever? But I think in this backward glance, he was looking. He says, do you love me more than these? The fish, the fishing. Are you going to go back to the old way? Are you going to go back? Or are you going to go forward? Are you going to go back? Or are you going to go forward? And so Peter says, do you love me? And then it's interesting, the Greek word here, Jesus actually doesn't say, do you agape me? Peter, Jesus says, Peter, are you my friend? Now, I love this because Jesus isn't out to discourage us. He's not out to discredit us or throw us under the bus. But Jesus was saying, okay, if you can't agape me, I'm willing to meet you where you are at this place of your development. Now, it says Peter was hurt. Now, I've thought about this. Okay, you know, use your imagination. In the movie, like, well, was he hurt because Jesus was you know, kind of needling him or whatever? No. I think in my movie, I think Peter was hurt not because Jesus was asking him the question. I think that Peter was hurt because he could not yet answer the question at the same level. He wasn't hurt what Jesus was banging on him. He was hurt because he realized in his heart he wasn't there yet. He was still wrestling with, am I going to go back to where I was or am I going to go forward? So then Jesus, he says, do you love me? And then Peter says, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. I'm your friend. Then Jesus said, feed my sheep. I tell you the truth that when you were younger and dressed yourself and went where you wanted, but now you're old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then he said, follow me. Now we're back to the start. Luke 5. Peter, he's a man of action. He gives Jesus his boat. And Jesus gets off the boat and says, follow me. And it's all new. And, you know, and there's a boldness. And he's willing to take the risk. And he leaves. They leave everything and they follow Jesus. But now there's 3 years that have gone by. And all this has gone by. And his head's swimming. And here's Jesus trying to just help him sort it all out. He says, follow me. And then the last, the commercial break. Now, this is the epilogue. So then they're walking some more, and then we read that John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, here's Jesus and Peter, they're walking, and here's John. He's just out of earsight or earshot, right? But he's, you know, but he's walking, and, you know, you could say he has a nose problem. My kids are nosy. I said, oh, they just have a nose problem, you know. But I think that John just wants to be with Jesus, and he wants to know what's going on, and, you know, because maybe he's trying to sort his way through this. And then what's happening is, so Peter and Jesus are walking, and like I said, this isn't just like boom, 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 boom. But this is at kind of the epilogue. And then, so Peter, he looks back, and this gives us a little picture into where he's feeling. And he says, well, Peter says to Jesus, well, Lord, what about him? And I call this the what about John problem. What about John syndrome? Isn't it easy when things start to get a little heat, we turn and we try to deflect it? Well, what about him? And coming back to what Pastor said, here's the Pharisee, thank God I'm like this, and blah, 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 blah. And here's this publican over here, and he's beating his chest, and he's saying, oh, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And so it's really easy in this whole following Jesus is, well, what about him or what about them? Well, Jesus says, you don't worry, I'll worry about John. You worry about you. You follow me. So that's kind of the last part of the movie. This is the whole crux of the issue. We're back to where he began. He's back, and he's thinking about, I remember when Jesus called me. I remember I left everything, and now I'm back at that same place, and he's at like a decision point. Is he going to go back to where he was, or is he going to follow Jesus? So that's what I want you to know. Jesus knows exactly where you are. Jesus, he's forgiving, he's loving, he's meeting you at your point of greatest need. He's inviting you into relationship. He's big, he wants to make you breakfast. He wants to go for a walk. He wants to help you really sort your things out. And don't we live in a tumultuous time? I don't know about you. I watch the news, I read the Yahoo News every morning, and I think, oh man, the world has just gone mad. I wonder, like, why are we so surprised? Jesus said it was going to all come unglued. But the question isn't going to be what's going to happen politically. The question is, Jesus is asking of you, and he's asking of me. He's saying, will we follow Jesus? There's this little song that I grew up with. I have decided to follow Jesus. And it's not like following Jesus like the Facebook followers. You know, you have all these followers, you don't even know them. You see their picture and you want to collect, oh, I'm a follower, whatever. You don't know this person. They live halfway around the world. But Jesus is saying, will you follow me? I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. Though none go with me, I will follow. And Jesus is saying, this is what I want you to know. This is what I want you to do. Is where are you in your walk with Jesus? Are you at that point of looking backwards, or are you saying, all right, regardless of what happens, it doesn't match what I'm thinking, it doesn't match what I'm feeling, but I'm going to make a decision. I'm going to follow Jesus because he's the way that knows the way through the wilderness.
You don't need a Savior if you don't know sin.
Thanks again for being a part of this message from Hillside Church. We pray that God was able to speak to you through what was shared. We're so grateful to be able to share God's word with our church community and family, and that includes you. And we'd love to hear from you. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Hillside Airdrie. You can contact us through email at info@hillsideairdrie.ca, or you can go to hillsideairdrie.ca and click on Contact Us from the main menu, or you can find our pastoral team contact by clicking on Our Pastors from the Our Church drop-down menu. Our vision for everyone that shares in Hillside Church is that they would know God, know his hope, know his purpose, and know his power in their lives. And we pray this message ministered to you. At Hillside Church, we're a family not by blood, but a family that's been bought by blood. As family, we go.
Who knows my every pain? And this is compares. It's like nothing I've ever known.